are in God's top 10. They're written in stone, and we're looking at number 4. So say number 4. You have made it to number 4, and we're going to be in Exodus 28 through 11. And I've entitled the sermon simply this: What's so special about the Sabbath? I mean, don't give me that word unless we decide what is special about it. Is anything special about it? And so we're going to jump in Exodus 28 through 11. First, I want to give you 3 of the basic essentials of human life. There may be more, but I'm going to give you 3. Are you ready for them? Number 1, work. Everybody say boo. No, don't do that. Number 2, rest. And number 3, worship. Those are 3 basic essentials of human life. People need all 3. In fact, God made us to work, to rest, and to worship. That is what the Sabbath is all about. It's interesting when you think about God and how he did all this. God himself divided time. Are you aware of that? He divided time into 7 days. The Bible declares that God created the heavens, created the universe, in fact, in 6 days. And then what did he do on the 7th day? He rested. Don't believe me? Look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I find that very interesting. God could have done it all kinds of ways, right? Couldn't it have been 5 days? Couldn't it have been 5,000 days? Right, but this is how God did it. So I want you to think about that. Furthermore, we as Christians, if you call yourself a Christian, we are called to experience something. We are called to experience freedom in Christ. We find that in the New Testament. We are called to flourish and to not let the world and its issues bog us down. I see people all the time that are bogged down, that are tired, that are affected by what's going on around us and all those things. And I want to say something to you. I think one of the keys to helping us in that area is this word Sabbath. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 36, this will be familiar to you. John 8, 31 and 36, it says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, I think that's important to note. These are to the believers, okay? Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. Then verse 36, therefore, if the Son, that's S-O-N, that's Jesus, if the Son sets you free, you will really be free, or you will be free indeed. You've heard of that before, haven't you? But my question is, how in the world is this? How can we be faithful? How can we be present in everyday life and in circumstances? How can we walk God's path? It's a narrow road. It's tough. How can we do that? Well, I want you to think about a different word you might not have thought about today. It's the word rhythms. Good luck spelling that. That's a hard, it's got a Y in there somewhere, all right? But I want you to think for a minute about rhythms instead of balance. You see, I hear people all the time talk about balance. I hear it all the time. Whether you go to a seminar, whether you're reading something or watching something, just talking. And I'm going to say something I don't know if you'll agree with, but hear me out. I think balance is an illusion. I do. I think it's an illusion. I think instead of balance, we should be thinking about rhythms. You see why? Because balance, I don't know that you can do balance, but rhythms are things that we can set into place. Remember creation? Remember what God did? This rest. Okay? That's not really balanced. That's 6 to 1, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think there's rhythm there that we should look at. Now think about rhythms for a minute, things we can set into place. Think about music. Music is, we build music, if you will, on top of the rhythm of the drums. Have you noticed that? Pull it out. Now some of y'all are like, well, I don't know if I care about the drums. Listen, we pull the drums out and you'll go, something's missing. What's missing? It's just there. You're used to it. Why? Because things are built on top of that. We see rhythm all around us. Think about it. Day, night, day, night, day, night. Some of you don't like night because you don't sleep as well at night. But day, night, day, night. See the rhythm? The rhythm of the seasons. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Who likes winter the best? That's what I thought. Wow, you're at least honest, okay? How about spring? Yeah, I thought some. How about summer? Okay, how about fall? I can't believe it. You're my people. But there's rhythm there to that. okay? Like right now, my rhythm is out of whack because it's too warm right now. I had to go and chop down and trim all the roses, the plants and everything. I'm like, why am I doing this right now? Because they're starting to sprout and all that kind of stuff. But there's rhythm there. How about the birds? They migrate. It's a rhythm. Bears hibernate. There's planting and harvesting and planting and harvesting. There's much more. All of nature follows God's rhythms. And yet people, who by the way are God's crowning creational jewel, all of nature follows God's rhythms, and yet people often do not. In fact, I would say we often resist the rhythms. Even secular people know about this. I will confess that I was in the first show choir. Has anyone ever heard of that term that came out in the late 70s and the 80s and 90s? It's gone away, I think, now. But I was in the first show choir at Alamogordo High School. That's where you sing and dance and wear costumes and do crazy things, you know, besides just stand there and sing in choir in school, okay? Yeah, with a whole class and everything. And I remember this one song. I'm not going to sing it for you, but listen to it. If I try to speak in rhythm, maybe a few of you have heard of it. When I started down the street last Sunday, feeling mighty low and kind of mean, suddenly a voice said, "Go forth, neighbor, spread the picture on a wider screen." You might know the chorus, some of you, if you were in show choir or in choir. "For the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm on the inside, rhythm on the street, and the rhythm of life is a powerful beat." Totally secular song. And yet, even people who may be doing certain things that we would not approve of, it's there. It's the rhythm. And God created it. Listen, we make choices in life. We don't get good sleep. Some of us don't go to bed. We go 100 miles an hour. And what we need, that maybe we can stop and slow down today and really consider, is we need rest and worship. You won't hear me say rest without worship today as we're looking at this, but we need rest and worship. I call that the rhythm of our heart. We need that. The renewal of our minds. We need that. The Bible calls it Sabbath. Let's look at it, verses 8 through 11. "Remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." You see that phrase again? It keeps coming up in the Ten Commandments. The Lord your God. It keeps coming up, all right? That's the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. "You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or even the foreigner who is within your gates." And look at verse 11. "For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore," because of what he has just stated, "therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy." Let's pray. God, help us to be reminded that you spoke these commandments. We're reminded in verse 1 that God spoke all these words. So we recognize that they have been recorded for us. They're your words. And help us to take a look at this fourth commandment. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds today. God, do work in our life, whatever it might be, whether it's the work of salvation and redemption, whether it's the work of consecration, whether it's the work of growing closer to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to state it this way. God's original design included Sabbath. Are you aware of that? Are you familiar with that? Listen, the world we see outside, maybe our world, it almost has nothing to do with God's original design. Whether we're talking about Sabbath and rest, where we're talking about gender confusion, whether we're talking about this or that, we could go on and on. God had an original design, did he not? Have you ever read it? In Genesis, before sin entered the world. So God's original design included Sabbath. This is creational. I want you to get this. This Sabbath idea comes at creation, so it is pre-fall. What do I mean by that? Pre-fall. Before sin. It's also pre-law. What does that mean? Before the Mosaic covenant here, the Ten Commandments, or any other laws. Listen, I'm in Leviticus right now. Oh my goodness. If I have to read another rule about health, or about what you can eat, or about, like, what sores on your skin. I don't like the skin rules. Have you read that? Anybody that just, oh man, okay. This is pre-law, all of it. The word Sabbath means to rest or to cease. Now that's interesting. I think both of those need to be there. Think about it for a minute. We just think rest sometimes. To rest or to cease. Another way we could think of it is an intermission. You ever been to a show and there's an intermission? The music or the play, whatever it is, it ceases for a certain amount of time. So everybody can go to the restroom and get back, all right? God modeled this idea for us in creation. He modeled work, rest, worship. And I want to tell you something. Other religions don't have this. In fact, the religion of America, do you know what the religion of America is? I still call it secular humanism. The religion of America values work over rest. We must be doing. We must be going. We must be producing. We must be succeeding. We must be posting. We must be whatever it is we're doing to get followers. We must be doing all these things. So Sabbath in our world today and in many churches today is countercultural. Think about this. I read this just a couple weeks ago and it blew me away. Go back with me. All the way back to Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve. Can you go back there with me? Their first full day of existence was a day of what? Oh, you knew. I never thought of it. Good for you. I never thought of that. It wasn't. They got all kinds of jobs and all kinds of things to do. But that God created, right? And then rest. Isn't that interesting to think about? Just chew on that for a minute. The Jews say Shalom Shabbat. That means wholeness comes through rest. So let's jump in. We see the command in verse 8. Point number one, we see the command. And let me just say this. The idea of Sabbath is God's gift to us. I'm going to give you three R's. This is what I think it should be. It should be a day or a time, that might be a better word, of rest, reflection, and renewal. So just put that in your brain and think about it for a minute as we're talking. Rest, reflection, renewal. Well, what is it? What is this Sabbath idea? It's a command. It's a backing away from everyday work and everyday routines, the rhythms of the work days. Are you with me on that? It's moving back away from that. It should be a celebration of the week or the days, however you do it, that we've finished and we can look back and praise God for what he did. Today would be a good example. Now, some people have to work today, but a lot of you are not. I hope you're not working today. I hope you're here, right? Your boss is not thinking you're at work, okay? But it's a chance. It should be a celebration today to do what? Not just look back on the week, but look back and see what God has done. Not what Lamar has done or what you have done, but what God has done. What did he do? It's a time for evaluation. It's a time for processing. And Sabbath does something interesting. It affirms that we belong to God. Those who participate in God's Sabbath, that affirms that we belong to God. Something interesting about commandment is it's the longest of the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? It's four verses. It's almost one-third of the 15 verses that we cover in all the Ten Commandments, and I found something interesting. Did you catch it at the beginning? It begins with a positive word. It's one of the two commandments in God's top 10 that are not stated negatively. It's positive. And how does it begin? Note the word there. The word is remember, zakar. What does that mean? It means to recognize, or even more, to mark. It's not just, no, think about it. It's more, I'm going to mark it So it's a strong remembrance, and it starts that way. In fact, in the Hebrew language, it's a very powerful, what we call emphatic. It's beyond a normal imperative. You'll see those all the time when you have an exclamation point in your Bible. It's an emphatic. It's imperative. This is beyond that. It's super powerful. This word, remember. And God says, remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. God is challenging us here to remember, to mark it. And remember this. Huh, I thought that'd be funny, a little play on words. Remember this. Long before the Sabbath was included in God's top 10, the Sabbath had been instituted as a day of rest and worship, as we mentioned earlier at creation. A little bit more of that in verse 11. And notice it in this verse. We find it again in verse 11. We'll look at it there too, that the Sabbath is, look at the designation. Look at the word that God spoke. The Sabbath is holy. That word holy means what? It means unique. It means set apart. It means sacred. Are you good with that? Unique, set apart, sacred. We say God is holy. Is God unique? There's none other, right? Is God set apart? Absolutely. He's creator. He's not bound by time and space like we are. He always was and is and will be. Mind blown. All those things. Yes, so he's set apart and sacred, of course. So here we see that the Sabbath is holy. Now there's a problem. Some of us have the problem today. In Jesus' day, there definitely was a problem. It's called legalism. Anybody ever heard of legalism? I won't ask you to raise your hand how many of you participated in legalism, because there's quite a few people that have over their lifetime. But the legalism of the Pharisees, do you remember those guys, those religious leaders in Jesus' day? The legalism of the Pharisees caused them to clash with Jesus on various occasions. I'm in the book of Mark now. I just finished Matthew. And you see it, man. It's the scribes, but also the Pharisees. They're just clashing all kinds of occasions. And what's funny is a number of the occasions, if you'll read the Gospels, you'll see it's related to these Pharisees and all their added man-made laws related to, guess what? The Sabbath. The Jews, in fact, developed, are you ready for this? 39 classifications of work which were to be avoided on the Sabbath. I mean, you talk about a spreadsheet. Wow. By the time of Jesus, the original intent or design of the Sabbath had been completely distorted. And the Sabbath had become, guess what? A burden. Can I breathe right now? How many steps can I take? You know, it became a burden instead of what it was supposed to be. A blessing, God's gift to us. Now, before we go crazy on those Pharisees, we get Pharisaical sometimes ourselves. We get where we think we know how it should be, and we have our own man-made or woman-made laws. Maybe they're not written down, but they're in our mind, what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. So let us be careful there. But it had been completely distorted. Burden, not a blessing. Jesus quells all this in Matthew 12:8. He uses his favorite title of himself. Do you remember that? His favorite title that he used the most was Son of Man. And here's what he says in Matthew 12:8. For the Son of Man, this is crazy, is Lord of the what? Sabbath. Take that, religious leaders. He's Lord of the Sabbath. Yes, rest, but do you see? Sabbath cannot just be sleeping all day. I'm sorry. Because we see he's Lord of the Sabbath. The rest has to be tied to the worship of God. I want you to get that today. If it's not tied to that, then it's not true Sabbath, in my opinion. Rest, yes, but tied to the worship of God. The Sabbath is one commandment that we take most lightly. I really do. I believe that, at least Americans, we take it most lightly. Sure, we should not be legalistic, but it's a command from God, and it requires obedience. I want you to think about that as well. Before we move on, the point should be restated. I know I spent a lot of time on point one. The other two points will be shorter, but point one, let's think of it this way. The Sabbath day was not given to Israel alone. Are you hearing me? Don't come up and say, oh, that's the one that's really not restated exactly in the New Testament, and we're New Testament believers. Listen, it's not for Israel alone. The Sabbath day was given to every nation and every people upon the earth. Why? Because it is creational. We mentioned that. Pre-law, pre-fall. One day of rest, however you want to calculate that, and worship. One day out of every seven applies to every generation of people, to every person. We're not exempt. Also note this, New Testament Christians, that due to what we call the second creation, being saved, redemption, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, old things have passed away, and behold, see that new things have come. Because of this, many today, but I don't say all, hear me, don't be legalistic on me, many today, the day has changed. What was the Sabbath for the Jew? Be careful, get it right. Friday evening to Saturday evening. But after the New Testament and Jesus, many, the day has changed to the first day of the week. Because Jesus rose on the first day of the week, there's other reasons, okay? But again, don't get legalistic on that, okay? We should not be legalistic about the day of worship and rest. Do you know what the early New Testament church did? They did it every day. Okay, I'm not advocating that, by the way, all right? Come and have to come to church every day and all that kind of stuff. But they did that, and they worshiped together every day. Listen, I acknowledge the police officer, the nurse, whoever who works on Sunday, they can rest and worship on another day. And they should. And we should look at that, okay? So that's the command. Let's move on to verses 9 and 10 and look at what I call the components. There's some things that are put into this command. They're components. There's an overarching principle I want you to get. It involves two things. You might want to jot it down. It involves physical rest and spiritual rest. Here's the physical rest part, overarching principle. Physical rest results from cessation of work on this day. Whatever that day is, whatever that Sabbath is for you or for me, physical rest results from cessation of work. Spiritual rest is different. Spiritual rest comes from doing something. It comes from worship. What does worship do? It invigorates and refreshes the soul. You need both. You see how that is? It's like rest from work, but then it's doing something. What? Worshiping, being invigorated, being renewed, being restored. We need both of those. So here we go. In verse 9 and 10, we see, first of all, that we are to work. Did anybody catch that? That's part of that essential of life. We are to work. It's in verse 9. You are to labor 6 days. Listen, I can't change what it says. That's what we're to do. So we are to work. God intended for us to work. We are to labor, to till, to the biblical word lots of times we see is toil. Have you heard that word? This is what we are to do. Even Adam and Eve were given tasks in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Just Genesis 2. Look at verse 15. Look in Genesis 2, and you'll see that. Paul said it this way to the Thessalonians. In fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat. I mean, we are to work. But it says more than that. It says you are to labor 6 days and do what? Do all your work. So, secondly, we're not just to work, but we're to work hard. I don't have time, do I? I could go off right here. The vast majority, I believe, of laborers and workers in the United States of America do not work hard. So I see some business owners shaking their heads at me right now. Who said you needed that many breaks? Who said you can do whatever? Who said you can just come in when you want or go? Oh, yeah, no, we are to work hard. It says do all your work. What's the idea here? It's not so much exact hours, but it's to work diligently. What does that mean? It means to work towards completion. Don't just spin your wheels. Well, what about the independently wealthy or the retired? All right, you guys ready? I'm going to get to you. No person is ever to sit idle, period. Unless you're physically incapable of work. That's a whole nother deal, okay? So forget, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are capable physically. No one is to sit idle. Now, some of retirees, you might get upset with me in a minute. Or some wealthy, you might. But listen, the independent wealthy should not just live off their wealth. They shouldn't live an outrageous, extravagant lifestyle, jetting wherever and whoever and just playing all the time. They shouldn't waste or hoard wealth. That's not what the Bible teaches. Scripture is clear. We as Christians are responsible to help meet the needs of our world. Not just to have the jet and go wherever, or not just to go on 7 cruises in 1 year. Sorry, I know you worked for it, but listen, we're not to do that. We're to be involved in helping. We do that through our tithes, and we do that through our offerings. We do that through the many other ways that we help people out. We do it with our possessions, but we also should do it with our time. And I might say the independently wealthy person got it made. They've got the time. They're not punching the time clock. They can do that. The wealthy should be generous. But what about those who are retired? It's quiet right now. There's a lot of retirees here. Bless your hearts. I'm working towards that myself. It'll happen someday. What about the retired? First of all, you've heard me say that. Where in the Bible does it say you ever retire from Christian service? From serving in the church, from serving other areas? Show me where it says that. Even if you taught Sunday school for 30 years, maybe you're not going to teach Sunday school right now, but you're going to do something else. Show me where it says that. It doesn't. Retired people should be the greatest servants. And let me just say something I've heard. I've heard sometimes, well, where are the young people? Listen, I don't want to hear that from a retired person, because I remember the day when we had 4 rugrats in our house. They're called boys, sons. And I can remember working long hours, and I can remember having to be creative because you had to stretch. Any of you remember having to stretch the dollars to go all the way through the month? And now we're empty nesters. I have to remind myself occasionally how easy we have it compared to those days. Listen, if you are retired, if you're a senior adult, be glad, be happy, and realize you can be one of God's greatest servants because you have a little more time on your hands, hopefully. You should. I know I've heard it said that you got a lot of jobs once you retire, all right? I am trying to get all the honeydews and all the jobs done before I get to retirement, so I don't have to spend all the time doing that, right? Are you hearing me? Can you hear my heart? Okay? In other words, this is for everyone. Everyone. We're to work hard, except those who are physically not capable of that. Okay? In fact, I would say it this way. God's greatest harvest is looking for laborers. All right. We're supposed to work. We work hard, even if we're retired. Number 3, this command applies to everyone. Everyone was supposed to observe the Sabbath. Did you catch some of these little components right there? It's weird. It's just thrown in there. Verse 10, did you catch some of those? Everyone was to observe the Sabbath. Particularly, this is directed towards adults. How do we know that? Do you see that? Because it talks about their kids. You see that? Your son and daughter. It talks about their kids and also people who were wealthy enough to own slaves and livestock, because those are all listed in the command. So I would say it's directed more towards us adults, okay? But also know this. If you were back then influential enough to have children, to have a family, to have slaves, to have livestock, to have all this, guess what? If it applied to you, just think it applied to everyone. Everyone. This would especially be applicable in the time of Jesus as well. Because think about the time of Jesus for a minute. Slaves and servants didn't get a Sabbath. They kept working. Go read the historians. You'll see. They had to keep working. So here, this is a statement that even it wasn't being followed at that time. And Jesus is our example. Luke 4:16. Jot that down. Luke 4:16. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as usual. I underline that. As usual, in other words, that's his practice, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He's our example. The command applies to everyone. Well, let's move on to point number 3, verse 11, the consecration. It's a big word, church word I'm using, the consecration in the command. Verse 11, for the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. God reminds us here of the work he did at creation. And might I say this? It was completed work. Are you aware of that? We're still reaping the results of his completed and finished work at creation. Listen, I'm not going to evolve into something else. As much as some of you would like for me to evolve into something else, I'm not going to do that. God completed his work. It's amazing to think of our solar system, and the earth is just exactly at the right distance from the sun. Any closer, we'll burn up. Any farther away, we'll freeze. The axis is tilted just at the perfect percentage, even off a fraction either way, and we're in trouble. It's spinning at the right speed. If it slowed down, guess what would happen? Gravity would crush us. If it sped up, we'd be flung off into space. We could go on and on and on. It's completed work. And God reminds us of the work that he did. And he also reminds us to rest. So I call this the consecration and the command. Well, what does consecration mean? I looked it up in the dictionary. To devote to a purpose with, or as with, deep solemnity or dedication. Here's another one. Dedication to the service and worship of a deity. Remember, we are to set apart time for rest and worship. Even a secular dictionary defines consecration as the service and worship of a deity. And here's the great news. As Christians, we just happen to know who that deity is, right? It's the God of the Bible. Yes. So it is a time of rest and worship. And again, it's restated, the same word from verse 8 and verse 11. It's holy. And we are to keep it holy. I might say it this way. The Sabbath is really about God. It's not just about us. Even though we've been talking about that, it's about God. Notice what else the Lord did. Besides it being holy, he mentions again that he rested creation. It said the Lord blessed the Sabbath. What does that mean? He blessed this rest as well. The word gives the idea of kneeling down. That's what that word gives us a picture of. Rest and worship are benefits given to us by God. Remember the context here. What had God's people just come through not too long ago? What did God deliver them from? 400 years of what? Slavery. Can you picture how God blessed this? Can you picture in their mind all those generations? There was no rest. There was no time for worship. It was just crack the whip, work, build all this stuff, do all this stuff. Pharaoh after Pharaoh after Pharaoh. And here all of a sudden it's the idea of rest. What a benefit. What a blessing. God blessed it to have rest and worship time. A few more things and we'll be done. I want you to think about this statement. You need a Sabbath. No, I'm not getting in your business. I don't follow you around all week. But I need a Sabbath. You need a Sabbath. It's rooted in creation. It's also rooted in redemption. Listen, some may argue over the day, but no one should argue over the principle and command. And I'll just tell you right here, I am not legalistic about this, and you may not like that, but I'm not just talking about a 24-hour period or exact day. There are some people that are working today, and I'm glad they're working today. Can I just say that? They're protecting us. They're caring for some people we love who are sick and in hospitals and in bad shape. So it can't be today, but it can be some other time. Maybe for some people it's a half day here and a half day here. Listen, don't get hung up on all that, but just realize it has to happen. It's part of creation and redemption. So don't get hung up on that. The Sabbath is God's gift to us. It benefits us to keep it, and it helps us to anticipate something. There's a final rest that's going to come. Did you know that? Someday, in eternity, a final rest will come, and we get to anticipate that. Let me state it another way when you think about Sabbath. Spiritually, I stole this, by the way. Spiritually, every day should be a Sunday, just as every life should be a saintly life. I like that. I should have that mindset throughout. So what are we to do? Lynn and I went to a retreat in August, and here's three recommendations that come from them. Sunscape, it's a great place. I'm going to give you three, these are practical recommendations you might want to jot down and consider using one or all of them in your life. Number one, release control of on your Sabbath. Listen, today cannot be Sabbath for you if you're just going to control it all. You're going to control everything about it. Yes, I know, worship's at 9:30. We can't do anything about that. That's what it is. We have to have a time. But release control on your Sabbath. Why? Because it's God's holy time for us. We need to learn to pause. It's a Selah moment. Are you aware of that? You can have this all throughout the week, by the way. Selah in the Psalms means to do what? Pause and reflect. So we have those times. Listen, that can be 5 minutes on a busy day, but it also can be the whole Sabbath day. So we need to realize that we got to release control on our Sabbath. Be at rest in God. Know when to stop. Just stop. Secondly, practice silence and solitude. Why would we let Eastern mysticism and religions take away from us these biblical practices of silence and solitude? We shouldn't let them take that away from us. Let us instead be like Elijah. Do you remember after everything that happened? 1 Kings 19. And there's Elijah and all the things that had happened. And the wind came. Nothing. The earthquake came. Nothing. The fire came. Nothing. And then what came? God's still small voice. And he heard from God. Let us be like Elijah. Let us be able to slow down and listen for God's still small voice. Let solitude with God push out all the other voices so he can speak to us. Listen, that doesn't mean you have to sit in a chair and go home, home. You can take a walk. Now, you can't have music or podcasts going on. There needs to be some silence, but you could take a walk and let God's voice drown out the other voices. For some, it might be sitting at a table with a puzzle. Those are instruments of Satan, I think, but anyway. No, they're not. But if it's quiet and you're just doing it, for me it wouldn't work, but for you maybe, you're doing that, hear God's voice, drown out the other voices. So practice silence and solitude. The reason we do that is so we can hear God speak to us. Number three, rest and recharge. Let me ask you a question, rest and recharge. What charges up your battery? In fact, I think this is the number one misconception of Sabbath. Because there are people who are still Pharisaical. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do this on the Sabbath. Wait a minute, don't add in a bunch of man-made laws like they had. Like how can you breathe or walk or all that, okay? Listen, rest and recharge. What charges up your battery? Is it a nice dinner? Have a nice dinner on the Sabbath. Is it a board game with your family? Play a board game on the Sabbath. It doesn't mean the cessation of doing anything but sitting in a corner of a room. It doesn't mean that. Hopefully worship and studying God's word, gathering together, that's something that you would want to do that helps to recharge you. How about time with your spouse? Spend time with your spouse. How about time with your family? Does that recharge your battery? Do that. Enjoy God and enjoy life and do it without guilt, okay? I used to think sitting down, taking a nap in the chair while you're watching football would be resting and recharging, but the Broncos have been so bad There's no rest. And the Lobos last night, oh my goodness. That's right. Oh, I still, you know, I had to confess that this morning to the Lord. I'm like, wow. Some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Enjoy life. Help out your rhythm of life. Just make sure your rest is connected with the worship of God. That doesn't mean you can't have a game of Settlers of Catan or something. It's fine. You can do those things. Well, as we close, let me tell you about the greatest rest that there is. It's found in the gospel message. You know the gospel is, don't you? That's the good news. We sang about it. God loved his creation so much, he sent his one and only son, Jesus. Because our sin will cause us to perish and be separated from God for eternity. So God initiated a rescue plan. He sent Jesus. We'll celebrate this at Easter, won't we? Innocently, he dies on a cross. He's crucified. And on the third day, he resurrects. In fact, he says, it is finished. We're going to talk about that at Easter. God provides a way for us. All we do, the only thing we do is we repent. We turn from our stuff and our sin, and we just run to Jesus. Forgive me. Save me from my sin. Be my Lord. Restore me to relationship with you. That's the gospel. You see, Jesus gives us rest of salvation and the rest of deliverance. Jesus gives us, this is amazing why it's the greatest rest. He can give you rest from your burden of sin. He can give you rest from bondage. He can give you rest from condemnation. He can even give you rest from legalism. He can do all these things. It's the rescue plan that God initiated before any of us were ever around. And let me quote Jesus, Matthew 11:28-30. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you, what does it say? Rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, not for somebody else, not for society, not for your church. You will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I would say today, if you've not experienced the greatest rest, the rest of salvation and deliverance, you turn to Jesus today. And if you have and you're a Christian today, I would say this: learn to Sabbath with Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your top 10. Words that you've spoken to us. And I would ask that you'd customize it right now for each one of us. I imagine that each of us watching online or here in the room, something has popped up in our mind. And God, my prayer is that we, whatever it is for each one of us individually, that, and maybe as a family, that we would purpose to do something about it. Let you work in our life. Help us to work and work hard and work completely. Help us to be able to rest, and help us to tie worship of you into that, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.